Cunnesty, how are you? Welcome back to the Candlelit Tales podcast, where we tell stories from Irish mythology and talk about them afterwards. This spring, we wanted to take a deeper look at a character we've mentioned before, the greatest High King, Cormac MacArt. And this is the third episode of this series, where we join the story as Cormac grows up and comes to Tara, where injustice has caused some problems. If that sounds a bit confusing, you can go back to the beginning of this series with the episode Art and Achtan. This podcast is brought to you by our supporters at Patreon. You can join them over at patreon.com/candlelittales, or you can make a one-time donation anytime you like. You can like this podcast, comment, share, and above all, enjoy. And for now, Aaron, tell us a story.
Out in the wild, on the westerly coast, in the north, but not the far north, in the west, but not the farthest west, in the place, in the crook in between Connacht and Ulster, there was a place, a home, where Fiacna Cosán fostered a young boy. Brought to him by Achtan, he did everything in his power to raise the boy well. His mother, the druid's daughter, the druid in her own right, would visit and come from time to time, but never stay, not for a full year. She was a mother to the child, and the child always eager to go running with his mother, Fiacna Cosán having to pull and hold him back to keep him at home and safe, and not roaming around the hills, getting lost. Although this child was overly eager to stay in forests and trees and the abundant places out in nature, he had no fear of the dangers that might lurk in the shadows. Any sign of wolves he would go towards instead of shrink back. This child seemed to be fearless, but when wrestling and tussling with other boys his age, he didn't display any great skill or great strength. Oftentimes, he would shirk away from a fight in order to talk, to calmly try and restore honor between any fighting parties. He thought it right to do. And when Fiacna Cosán would show this boy how some people were punished and some people were brought to justice, the difference between the two, Fiacna often would show what happens to someone who was cast out of society on the roads, thrown away and punitively penalized for stealing from a king. On the other side, if someone had gone wrong or gone against the community, their community, how sometimes not punishing, but bringing healing to the person who had committed the crime in order for them to pay back what they had taken or damaged, but to bring them back and bring them back to a sense of themselves belonging to their community, and what that did to repair the damage, much greater than punishment. Achtan would teach the child how to listen to the otherworldly signs, how to pay attention always to the wheel of the years it turned, to pay attention to the thin times and those powers beyond the veil. And so this child, he grew. And he grew with teachings and learning from his father and his mother. And he learnt to be at home in the natural world, filled with oak trees, birch, willow and alder, and always looking at the hawthorn tree with a smile that reached his eyes. The gateway between worlds. Because he had a great understanding of that other world too, and tried to find balance for himself in this world, in the creation of man and woman, and his name was Cormac. And when he was a young man, still, he had much to prove, but often found he was the peacekeeper in between those that were trying to prove their strengths to one another, and found himself often keeping peace between neighbouring disputes. But when an aggressor came on him and tried to trip him up, and Cormac managed to use his weight against himself and flung him on the ground, he heard a strange cackling voice, one that spat in the mud, and said it was hard to be done over and done by someone who didn't even know who their father was. Of course, Cormac had known that Fiacna was his foster father, and Achton his mother, but he had never really questioned who his father truly was, until that day. And he went to Fiacna Cosán, who told him of his lineage, how he was a direct descendant from Art, the High King, whose father before him had been a High King as well, Conn Caoth Cach, and so to restore a balance on a land ravaged by war and disputes, and not finding the balance between nature and nurture, between man and other world and this world, he should be the rightful ruler of this land. Fiacna Cosán seemed to shift a heavy weight that had been laying on his chest, and when it dispelled, he felt lighter and pleased to finally have told Cormac. Cormac was anything but delighted. He felt like the weight had suddenly shifted, and now he was bearing it on his shoulders, a heavy burden that he would have to carry. This duty, peacekeeper, he had been between quarrelsome friends and allies and neighbours, but to be a ruler of all Ireland, to keep the quarrels between the kings from the north and south and east and west. He breathed deeply and he looked across at his favourite hawthorn tree that he could see out there in the hill. And some way between the way the sun was shining in between the leaves on that particular day with the particular shade of green, he seemed to feel or sense or know that veil was thin that moment. And as if he was looking at an image of himself calling him, he took to his feet and began to walk, answering a call he wasn't sure was there at all. But he went, and he knew he needed to go to Tara. He knew he needed to announce his arrival, at the very least make people aware that he was alive, even if it meant the High King now, Lugaid MacCann, would kill him and throw him out of Tara. Well, that would be whatever needed to happen would have to happen. And it was out of his control, and he wouldn't start a fight. He had no interest in rallying an army. No. This day he would go to Tara. And as he was walking the roads, the long, twisted, widening roads, he stayed out that first night, not even halfway on his trip. And he stayed beneath the stars as it was warm enough to sleep outside, and it was beginning to get warm before he even woke. That early morning brisk walk he took with relish and eagerness moving through his body, anticipation, maybe dread, but it was exhilarating. And it gave him an extra pep in his step to be walking now along the road to reach Tara, to announce his arrival. But along the road he met a woman driving a small herd of sheep. She had a small shawl wrapped around her shoulders, and her skirts seemed unkempt and not well maintained, her long hair scraggly and her eyes furrowed, strong worry behind her eyes. although she greeted Cormac, greeted her too. He asked her her name. Bonnid, she said, and she was going to Tara for a judgment. Her sheep had gotten out not so long ago. They'd gotten past her pen. One post had fallen in a storm, and they got out from her land and gotten on to the Queen's land, where they had eaten whatever was growing in the garden, which included woad. Woad that is used to dye clothes and make tattoos. Many warriors used before going into battle. Many high kings used to make beautiful dress and gown and cloak. All use this woad, an expensive plant. To have her sheep graze and destroy the Queen's woad, she knew she would have to pay some form of severance, but she had nothing to pay with. So she hoped the king could be reasonable. But she would show up, she would arrive, and be accountable for her actions. It was, after all, her fault she had not mended the fence to keep her sheep in. They did not talk much more on the road. The woman clearly distressed, Cormac not wanting to leave her behind, simply kept her company, shared with her what he had in his satchel. That night, they slept. When they awoke and came close to Tara, they saw many gather and come into the halls there. Lugaid MacCann had asked for a public hearing, so this queen could give her account of what had happened, and his judgment would be final. When Cormac came in, no one knew him, and he knew no one. He stayed at the back of the hall. He watched as Bonnid walked straight into the centre. It was tense, and everyone was unsure. This queen was wearing her finest dress, jewels and fantastic silverware all dangling there on display, her wealth a sheer contrast to the woman who was potentially to be punished for taking the Queen's woad. After the Queen had told them all of how expensive the woad was and how much and how many fabrics and tattoos she was going to create from all of the woad that would be lost completely, she asked the king how this woman would repay or begin to repay her. She did not know. Bonnid simply bowed her head low and begged the king for his compassion. She asked that she give what she could, but she would by no means be able to repay the huge debt. She bowed her head low and mutterings rang out around the hall, everyone wondering what the king would do, and the tension was rising. People were beginning to cast aspersions and mutter amongst themselves of what should happen, what they thought should happen, until finally Lugaid's voice rang out loud and clear.
It is very clear that we here gathered must see this woman penalized and punished for taking the Queen's woad. Simple done, we'll take her flock of sheep and give them to the Queen, who will year in and year out repay the great debt that you have created for yourself, Bonnid. With this, silence rang out, and everyone scratched their chin to see this woman ripped away of everything she had to repay and pay back a queen who seemed to have so much. Cormac's voice leapt through his mouth before he thought he was even speaking. His voice rang out clearly and uncontrolled, as if somebody was pushing the words through his mouth.
clearly a shearing for a shearing would be fairer. All eyes turned to Cormac, who was as surprised as anyone else was to see that he had spoken. In deafening silence, the king stood up and he demanded to hear who had spoken against him. And as he stood, the whole hall began to sink down low and the podium he was on began to sink into the ground. So the doorway across from the hall began to rise ever so slightly. And as the trembling walls shook around and dust began to gather, everyone looked around and worried. They looked at Cormac MacArth, who was standing next to the door, which was now rising higher and higher, inch by inch, and all eyes around him were on him, until eventually he stood in the hall at a higher point, looking down at the king at the bottom of the hall. He opened his mouth and stuttered and began to explain his point of view. He said simply, "It's clear to me that to penalise this woman and take away her entire livelihood would leave her destitute and destroyed and kill her within a year. But to restore balance, to be a fair judgment here, take a shearing of this woman's sheep and repay it to the queen. The wool will grow back, as will the woad. And though the wool won't serve as a full account to the woad that is lost, we can at least both agree that the natural world is part to blame for this. And those sheep can't very well be held accountable for eating the woad, can they?" Nothing was heard but the baaing of a sheep and Lugud's fierce, angry breaths as he roared for his garrison to grab that man now as he ran towards him. Cormac nearly tripped, fell and stumbled out of the hall, now clearly imbalanced, and he ran around the hills and circles of Tara with the men chasing behind him and Lugud MacCon screaming after him once and twice and three times. Fully around this entire hill of Tara he ran, all the way ducking and going below the hawthorn trees that he finally found and managed to hide and stay low and watch as the guards and the king ran past, leaving him hiding below. Cormac returned home, and for a year he stayed in hiding, worried and wondering if the king would come for him. And all throughout that year, nothing in Ireland grew. No woad, no crops, no grass, no trees. And all that grew were the rumours that the rightful king was not on his throne.